are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously, hosted by the Is It Good Night or Is It Good Morning King of KFC, David Lim, and me, the bad boy of the dance floor, Joel Babington. Hello, David. How are you doing?
Good, Jolie B. Thank you for acknowledging my love for KFC, because it really is an addiction.
And I'm sure I've said this before, but I had never even had KFC before we lived together.
Oh, is this my impact?
Yeah. And now, like, I have it semi-regularly. Or if they sponsor us, I have it once a week at least.
Oh, gosh. I mean, they don't need to sponsor me for that to happen. But yeah. You know, we've had a very exciting few weeks as vinyl collectors, especially of the 2000s ilk.
It's been fantastic, isn't it?
We had 20 years of Sugar Babes One Touch. If you haven't already, or you did at that time, please go back and listen to our Sugar Babes Part 1, which covers One Touch and Angels with Dirty Faces. But yes, 20 years of One Touch. The vinyl arrived today for me, Jolie B, and it is so beautiful. I got the deluxe one with the kind of three-color swirly thing.
I actually haven't played it yet. I think I got the gold one, but I can't remember because it was so long ago now. But actually, yeah, let's whiz through this, David, because I want to blast that out once we're done.
I've listened to the demos and alternate versions. This is a proper reissue. Do you know what I mean? You want to do an anniversary reissue, right? This is the way to do it.
They've really done it. They've given the gays, the fans, everyone, everything we want and more, which is so lovely. It's a really, like, no pressure way for them to, like, do this. It's so celebratory. It's so fun. And it feels so exciting because it's amazing to see them together. So I just hope, and fingers everything crossed, guys, that this continues with them and we have a tour and we have new music, because these are still fresh young artists that can give us their best work to date, David.
Definitely, yeah. So the other 20th anniversary vinyl situation that happened was Kylie's Fever.
Oh my God.
There is the silver vinyl now that's out. I don't know if
it's
sold
out,
but I got my sold really out. I literally clicked on it 10 minutes after she
you
posted.
Sent it to me and I put Kylie. That was just my reaction. Thank you, David, for alerting me on that, because I didn't get it on... I managed to grab it when it went on Amazon. So I'm not sure if it's going to be white, if it's going to be silver. I'm happy to have the album on vinyl. And then it sold out.
Shout out to my friend Hal for sending that in a group chat. And then I sent it on to you. And yeah, you know, we've got a little community of Kylie fans here. And finally, you know what? We've been banging on about Sophie Ellis Bextor's vinyls. The first four albums coming out on vinyl, thanks to Plastic Pop Records. And album 2, Shoot From The Hip, and album 3, Trip The Light Fantastic, has arrived for me, JB.
Well, David, let me tell you, I royally screwed this up, didn't I? It's my own fault, but I ordered albums 2, 3, and 4 all together. And I didn't realise that they are now all going to come together middle of next year when the fourth album's released.
When Make A Scene comes out.
Which at least I know it's coming and everything. But I was so, like, I was waiting at the post box. I saw you were posting about it. Everyone was posting about it. And then I was like, I'm just going to check. And I was like, oh no. Just in time for when we maybe cover those albums. Who knows what the future holds.
Speaking of what the future holds, you will be seeing Sophie and Steps on tour.
Oh, I know.
Next
what
month.
A terrible show that's gonna be. I'm not gonna dance at all. I'm gonna sit there grumpy, not gonna know a single song, gonna completely have my voice the next day. Anyway, Davo, shall we read a lovely 5-star review?
Yes, absolutely. So thanks, guys, again, for all your support for Right Back At Ya. This one is from Rockspace, left on Apple Podcasts Australia. So g'day.
G'day.
The title says, takes me back to my teens. I'm so happy I found this podcast. The boys are the most fabulous hosts. They bounce off each other's energy and take me back to the days when I would tape Rage video clips onto VHS. Me too. I did that. And hope and pray that the CDs of my favourite artists had the liners with the lyrics printed on them. Please do an episode on the early noughties American Idol, Kelly and Justin, etc. Love you both. Well, you're a From Justin to Kelly fan.
I'm a From Justin to Kelly stan. Look, if that was available to watch online in full, I would sit David down and we'd watch it and we'd do an in-depth...
Don't you have this on DVD?
I have the film, but I don't have that series of American Idol.
Oh, okay. I mean, look, we'll figure it out. But what matters is the film.
One of the best movie musicals of all time, and I will not hear otherwise. Not on my podcast, goddammit.
Amazon Prime, you need to put From Justin to Kelly on.
I know. Well, I've got 4 copies of it on DVD, if anyone needs to. Maybe 5. I'm not even joking. We'll save that for another time, because if 3 hours will be gone and we've not even started what we're doing today. So, David, who are we covering today?
A lot of what we dwell on happens to be early in the 2000s. So, you know, we often reference shows like Pop Stars, Pop Idol, CD UK, Top of the Pops, and that kind of stuff. But this is a real treat for us to go to the tail end of the decade for a change. And we are talking about our very first X Factor related episode. We are celebrating the great, the almighty Alexandra Burke.
All hail Queen Burke. I mean, David, we're going to be doing what, 2008, 2009, 2010? I feel like we're in the future. We've never been so current.
You were there in spirit. We saw Alexandra Burke steal the show at Mighty Hoopla this year, and wow, what a phenomenal set. She looked incredible. The energy was there. The choreography was there. The looks were served. She really brought it.
And I mean, as it would be with Alexandra, she embodies all of that, which I'm sure we're just going to spend about 2 hours saying again and again, how much she embodies the most perfect pop star. Like, she is it. But I hope this brings more of us seeing Alexandra front and center as the pop star that she still rightfully is, you know?
So Alexandra Burke is a record-breaking pop artiste, also the winner of The X Factor here in the UK season 5 back in 2008. Maybe not that many people know this, but back in January 2009, Alexandra Burke became the first British female solo artist to sell 1 million copies of a single in the UK with Hallelujah, her X Factor's winner single. Not everybody has that.
Literally not everybody has that.
She then went on to have great success, releasing 3 studio albums, all of which were UK top 20 hits. The one we're celebrating today, Overcome, was a UK number 1 certifying double platinum. The week we're releasing this episode kind of coincides with the album turning 12. So this was a mammoth album. It had 6 hit singles on it. And it's going to be so much fun to get into this. And I absolutely cannot wait. Ms. Burke has had 3 number 1 singles and 7 consecutive top 20 singles. She's had 3 Brit Award nominations as well. Since The X Factor, she has also had very memorable TV appearances on Strictly Come Dancing in 2017 and Celebrity First Dates in 2015. So... And also, we must acknowledge she was the first person to bring the phrase, there's an elephant in the room, over to the UK.
Of course, bringing, just international phrase queen.
Literally, yeah. She is a dazzling, charismatic live performer with tons and tons of star power, and it's always a delight to see on stage and off stage. So I must add, I did work with Alexandra for a couple of years. Very, very lovely woman, just a bundle of energy and just good vibes. So lots of love for her.
Amazing. And obviously what you've not mentioned, David, is also Queen of the West End, starring in amazing UK tours, West End productions, The Bodyguard, Joseph, phenomenal.
And it's not easy to do the West End.
It's not easy.
You know, to be a leading lady of the West End, you got to have the right techniques, stamina, discipline.
8 shows a week, David. The song she sings to sustain 8 shows a week, like, yeah, you have to be rooted in your,
it's tough,
in your training. And people like Alexandra Burke, when you see them in a West End show or a tour or whatever it is, it isn't, oh, we're going to see a celebrity in a show. It's like you are seeing a star performer who is at the top of their game.
So London-born and bred queen Alexandra Burke first auditioned for The X Factor in season 2, would you believe? That was a season that Shane Ward won. She was only 16 at the time. So when she was eliminated from The X Factor in season 2, someone on the show told her, you haven't made it through, but give me a call in a couple of months and I'll sign you. And then she was like, oh my God, like obviously getting her hopes up, 16-year-old girl thinking this is my way into the industry. And then this person tells her, I already have one black artist. I don't need another. And she was like, it really sucked to hear those words because of your skin color. Now you can't have this opportunity that was promised. And that was such a big deal for her at 16. So she felt really let down by that. And unfortunately, it's just a taste of what's to come in the industry that she's getting into. So very tough lesson to learn at 16. But she continued to work on her skills, fine-tuned and honed her craft over the next 3 years. And then she comes back, age 20, to try again for the X Factor in 2008. And she made it all the way to the finals in Cheryl's category.
I mean, the stars aligned, didn't they, David? Because yes, she was fantastic at 16 when she auditioned. But boy, when she came back and then Cheryl was her mentor and you watched those live performances, it was the ready-made pop star is here. This isn't just a vocalist. This is the definition of the X Factor. It was just her show and everyone else was just on it.
Season 5 had some fabulous acts that you guys might remember. JLS, very successful.
Very successful.
Dinah Vickers, Ergen Quick. Yeah. Is that how you say his name?
Owen.
Is it Owen?
Yeah, it's Irish.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I didn't actually watch this season of X Factor. I kind of came on board properly in Series 7 in 2010. Were you watching this live in real time?
Oh, yes. I would say this is one of the series I watched the most. You know, it was like I was a teenager. This was event television. So I was at college and everyone was talking about it. We'd all watch it on the Saturday and we'd talk about it. Everyone had their opinions. And I even just remember at the time people were comparing Alexander to other people and just saying, oh, I'm not sure. And I'm like, are you watching the same show I'm watching? Of course she's going to win. Like, she is a star. I don't think we had seen, in my opinion, on The X Factor yet, someone that could sing like her and dance like her and had that charisma and that stage presence.
It was just so electrifying to just watch back and go, wow, that was her in her sort of amateur stage. Like, she looked ready. And of course, we must mention that very iconic finals performance where she got to duet with Beyoncé singing Listen.
As viewers, I don't think we could quite believe it. People in this situation weren't getting acts of that level. Alexandra just is crying and they're just sort of holding each other and they're singing back and forth. But she is just acting like how anyone would when you're singing with Beyoncé. It would just be too much to handle. And I just love her after, where she's so emotional and she's saying, you know, thank you, you've really made one of my dreams come true. It just seems like it couldn't have happened to a better person. David, if you were in that situation, anyone is possible, no limits to this reality, who would be your dream come true duet?
Wow. Brandy. I mean, I don't think I'll be able to vocally keep up. I'll sing backing vocals for you, Brandy.
We're in our alternate universe, you know. We're nearly as talented as Alexandra. Even in our dreams, we're not going to say we're that talented. But you're at a level. I'd love to see that. The king of R&B of X Factor Australia and Brandy Norwood comes out.
Yeah, the vocal Bible.
Do you think you'd sing The Boy Is Mine or...
Oh my God, gay rights.
Yeah, the judges would be like, oh, that was very modern.
What about you? Who's your dream, like, finale duet?
Oof, I think it would have to be Britney.
Oh,
and everyone would
you do an up-tempo together?
We do an up-tempo, but everyone wouldn't believe it because we know, the fans know, like, what an amazing singer she is. We would both bring the house down. So it would not only be a triumph for me with the biggest star in the world, but it would be a triumph for her.
Yeah. I can just imagine the stage goes dark. Yeah. Doom, doom. Ladies and gentlemen, my hero, Britney Spears.
Britney! Oh, God, imagine what a final 2 week would be. Oh. David, Joel, Britney, Brandy.
Oh, neck to neck with the public votes.
And then Owen Quigg gets it. I don't know who he sung with. It's probably like, I don't know, Jason Donovan or someone. Like.
So Alexandra Burke, needless to say, won the X Factor with over 58% of the public votes. Let's talk about the winner's single. The record-breaking winner's single by Alexandra Burke comes out in December 2008, Hallelujah. It's a call. JB, this was like, okay, you know, there aren't a lot of X Factor winner singles that I love, but I actually think this one stands the test of time. You will never catch me listening to Cannonball by Lil Mix. But this, do you know what? It is genius. Taking this folky Leonard Cohen song, giving it a big gospel music energy, it just works. It's 100% what Mariah Carey would do.
I mean, look, you've sold it to me, David. It is absolutely gorgeous. I think the thing is, to me, this song is dead boring, but she made it an 11 out of 10.
Look, I don't think you're alone in thinking this song is dead boring, because if I recall correctly, Alexandra's first impressions of being given this song is, it just didn't do anything for me.
But so even with that, though, you look at the song, you watch the video, it couldn't have been anyone else. It could not have been anyone else.
Yeah, she fulfilled the brief, and it just kind of works, because this song isn't spiritual, even though the title is Hallelujah. It's not really a spiritual song, but she kind of made it sound like it could be a gospel song. It was just like there was an aura to it that was like both meditative, but also like blockbuster reality TV finale with the confettis and the fireworks coming down. Like,
so David, speaking of Alex's singing Hallelujah, my Alex,
your boyfriend,
my boyfriend Alex told me that he sung Hallelujah when he auditioned for Pop Idol Series 2.
Hold up.
Call 911.
Hang on a minute. I did not even know that. Well, I know he does theatre, but I didn't know he auditioned for Pop Idol. Who won that season?
Michelle.
Oh, the Michelle McManus year.
It was
year.
Michelle, Sam and Mark, the year after Will, Gareth and Zoe. So he claims that he did this version
Before
anyone else was doing it.
Do you think Simon Cowell was like, let's make a note of this?
I don't know if he got to that, because, you know, it's with producers and everything long before you even make it to the panel. But yeah, he's like, I did this kind of version long before everyone else was doing it, because you see everyone sort of churns it out now.
Mm, this has now become the standard of how you sing Hallelujah. Yeah. Like, forget the Leonard Cohen version. The Alex version, well, your Alex, not Bert.
Pick your Alex.
What's really amazing about this version of Alexandra Burke's Hallelujah is that it's produced by Swedish pop producers Quiz and La Rossi, who did The Saturday's Up, Steps Here and Now, and Jerry's Ride It.
Flex for everyone. Flex for everyone. So there was a bit of a chart battle and some controversy at the time, David. So some people of the public were pushing for the Buckley version to beat Alexandra to the top. I mean, clever ploy, really, because it was never going to beat Alexandra's. I mean, it went on to break records, as you said. But it did get it to a Christmas number 2. It was the first time ever that the same song was at Christmas 1 and 2.
The only people winning there are the songwriters, right? The songwriter there is really winning. And you can't deny that without the huge publicity machine of The X Factor, this could have been possible.
This is Alexandra Burke's winner single, but this doesn't need to define who she is as an artist.
I think out of all the winner singles, like this one and maybe Shane Ward's That's My Goal, resonates in these artists' careers, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I actually really like Shane Ward's That's My Goal. I sing that in the shower sometimes.
Well, I think that's the first time in X Factor UK history where an original song has been a winner's single, right?
Yeah.
In Australia, we always give an original song to our winners.
You guest judge on the panel for the finale. In Australia, we always have an original song. Don't you do that here? Would they all have their own song, or is there one?
They would all have their own song.
Wow.
So it's not like you're voting for the best performance of this one song.
And do the other people still get to release their song?
No. I think if they were really popular, then maybe that would be an option. But no, I've not seen that happen.
So I always used to think this would be a really interesting concept for a reality TV show. Somewhere between kind of This Time and Shane, you know, when CDs and sales and everything's still important. We have 12 finalists and they actually stay. No one gets voted off. They stay and grow for 12 weeks. So the audience actually gets 12 weeks to really find a favourite, and also people get to grow as artists and we see their journey. And then at the end of it, they all release a single all their own single, 12 different singles, and it's a chart battle, and whoever gets number one or the highest chart position is the winner.
Okay, well, copyright that.
Copyright at right back at you, the reality talent show.
Make sure Simon Cowell doesn't hear this episode, because this sounds very compelling. But also, I can imagine the kind of fights in the 12 weeks in the TV show. I did not get as much airtime as Lucy over there. She's clearly the favourite. This is rigged. So this single, Hallelujah by Alexandra Burke, debuted at number one in the UK, where it stayed on top of the charts for three consecutive weeks, certifying double platinum. It broke a European sales record after selling over 105,000 downloads in just one day, breaking the record previously held by Leona Lewis. The song sold over 576,000 copies in its first week, becoming the fastest selling single released by a female artist in the UK. And of course, it was the 2008 Christmas number one. Overall, Hallelujah by Alexandra Burke sold over 1.3 million copies, making it the biggest X Factor winner single in history. It's nominated for Best British Single at the 2009 Brit Awards, but Jolie B, it lost to Girls Aloud's The Promise, which was, I mean, deserved.
It was about time.
It was about time, Sarah Harding would say, yeah.
Well, imagine on my show, when that does so well, like all four or five in the category were just singles from that show.
Yeah, the Jolie B, what would it be called, the show?
I don't know, Chart Races or something.
Ooh, Chart Races, start your engines.
Or Chart Battle, I don't know. We'll workshop that. But yeah, it can be me, you, Brandy and Brittany are the panel.
Yeah, and Lisa Scott Lee.
And very, well, maybe Lisa could host.
Yeah. All right, Lisa. Stay by the phone. We'll give you a ring.
Yes. fantastic. So as you were saying, huge, huge, huge record-breaking sales. 53 in Austria, 27 in the Czech Republic, 6 on the European Hot 100 singles, 1 in Ireland, 1 in Scotland, and 25 in Slovenia. Before we get into the real launch of Alexandra Burke, David, she goes on the X Factor UK tour with the other finalists, which actually straight after that, she starts working on the album straight away, I guess as you would. But also her new BFF, Beyoncé, asked her to support the UK leg of her I Am tour, the same tour that our young diva Jess Malboy supported the Australian leg.
I mean, Beyoncé was really tapping up the next young divas.
But I think Alexandra didn't do it in the end. I think she was just way too busy.
Honoured, but I'm not going to come on your tour and sing a bunch of covers that I did on The X Factor. I'll come back the following year when I can sing songs from my album. How about that? And Beyoncé's like, dude,
Sounds great. Don't call us. We will call you. What is interesting is that Alexandra's debut album originally had a Mother's Day ready release scheduled. But all I'm going to say is thank God it got pushed back. Rightly so. They wanted to push it back to make sure this album could be the best it could be. And that really paid off, because Mother's Day is not the vibe.
I don't know what kind of album, what kind of quality she would have delivered.
No,
with that.
We don't need the rushed out Mother's Day covers album.
No, we don't. So as long as, I mean, this album is really worth the wait, because they put everything into it. And that's why it is. That's why we're talking about it now, 12 years after.
Why do Mother's Day? When you can get the gifts,
you can get Christmas, you can get gifts,
and you can get the, like, Tesco mums, like, we'll all join hands and love it together. So my fellow bad boy David Lim, shall we go for it? In October 2009, here we go. 101 of This Is How You Launch Your Pop Career.
Iconic. We are talking about Bad Boys featuring Flo Rida. Well, I would call this Alexandra Burke's proper debut single. This is the arrival of Alexandra Burke. And I'm so proud to say, and I really need to get this next time I go back to Australia, but I have an autographed copy of this CD single that was given to me by my friend Petro. We are both on Joy 94.9. So maybe she did Joy when she was in Australia and it was part of her promo trip.
Wow.
But he gave me this copy. So I'm like, yes, I'll take it. I've already got the album, but I'm like, oh, I didn't know that we were getting Alexandra Burke singles in 2010. I'll take this.
Wow, prized possession. That should be framed.
Prized possession. That is going right up on the shelf the minute it comes back to the UK with me.
If you've been living under a rock and you're not following David Lim, you are missing out on his spectacular displays on the shelves in his flat, constantly rearranging it, showing off all the pop faves. HMV could never.
HMV is shook.
At Love Limmy, get following.
So Joel, what were your first impressions of Bad Boys?
Oh, it was just like, here we fucking go. This is a banger. And here is someone that was already a ready-made pop star, has leveled up.
Now, this was at the height of electropop and R&B fusion. You know, lots of people were doing this kind of sounds like Tyo Cruz, Flo Rida, Usher, Neo. Thank God she got an up-tempo because I did not want another ballad.
I end every day now with something I'm thankful for, and I'm going to start adding into the mix. I'm really happy we didn't get a rushed-out ballads Mother's Day album from Alexandra Burke as the debut.
Amen to that.
So, David, I have something to ask you. If you were to release this song on DL1, would you change the title from Bad Boys to Demon Twink?
I'm the Demon Twink. I don't want to attract Demon Twinks. That is my energy.
Do you not think Demon Twink attracts Demon Twink? Some boys will call me a player. Da, 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 da. I'm a Demon Twink. Du, du, du. It's kind of a bit jazzy for the Brasserie Zadel. I'm a Demon Twink. Du, du, du. This is my Tesco mum's Mother's Day release.
Oh my God. Can we please get your rendition of Demon Twink release for Pride 2022?
It's Tesco mum saying gay rights. Demon Twink.
Oh my God.
Song for David.
I am obsessed. So she flew over to the States to work with American producers for this album, and one of which were the Phantom Boys who did this track. And gosh, what a perfect combination for her, you know, like, and we got to talk about this music video because this is really what sealed the deal of Alexandra, the pop star, arriving. She's serving choreography like a pro.
A star is born. So this music video, David, we've got sexy nighttime, we've got cars, we've got bars, we've got leather, we've got a dress,
we've got stunts,
and of course we have Bad Boys.
So this video was shot around LA by Brian Barber, who did Outkast's Hey Ya's video, and also Christina Aguilera's Ain't No Other Man. Okay, it's fierce, but it's still classy, you know, like she's got the leather jacket on, ponytail, leather trousers and heels, but she's got like a little red top on underneath, so she's not like giving you overly sexy, you know. It's like something the aunties would still be like, okay.
Like, this, she's like so sexy, full stop, but also so sexy in this video. You don't always need to go extra provocative to, like,
to make your point, yeah.
Exactly. And she can do whatever she wants, take it all off, leave it on. She'll look incredible regardless. So, David, I was in Amsterdam once, a fair few years ago, in a coffee shop, enjoying what they do in that coffee shop. And this music video came on, and it was just like a spiritual experience. Like, I hadn't seen it in a really long time. I probably hadn't, to be honest, it feels like I hadn't really seen it since the video had come out. And this is probably like 2014, 2015. And I was just like, my jaw was on the floor. My eyes were wide open. I was with straight people and I was just saying to them all like, you guys just don't understand. This is amazing. I just now, whenever I watch it, it's just still that same.
The memory of Amsterdam and that cafe. That,
but also just the feeling of how I felt then, I feel every time I watch it, of just how incredible this is.
I also love the kind of stunts she was giving in this video. You know, that bit where she pushes two guys out of her way and they go flying across the bar. Jackie Chan is shaking. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Burke, oh. Queen of stunts. Just She should be playing Catwoman instead of Halle Berry.
Oh my God, yes. So, David, we have the return of Live, Laugh, Levine.
Wow.
Nick Levine of Digital Spy said the song complimented Burke's sass and all-round performance skill and called the song fun, pulling off minor pop miracle, turning a cameo by Flo Rida into a good thing.
True, it still resonates to this day.
Yeah, I mean, he's put into one sentence what our two-hour episode is. David, there were some incredible performances of this song at the time.
The X Factor finals of that year in 2009, she comes back, does this song with JLS.
Amazing.
They open the set with the JLS boys singing their version of Bad Boys with the lyrics changed a little bit because they're the bad boys, right? And then they interpolated some lyrics from Beat Again as well. It was just so clever. And then the stage parts, and then she comes strutting out and sings the first verse of Bad Boys. Like, that was just gorgeous. I love seeing them together and doing this.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And then obviously they all go into a bit of Everybody in Love. And it really was showing off what the, like, glory days of the X Factor was. It was like, here we're at the finale of the X Factor, and look at these huge stars we created and launched last year. There was also another amazing performance you just sent me before we started recording, didn't we, David? At 7:45 in the morning in an early 2009 weekday, Alexandra Burke is showing up and showing out on GMTV with live vocals. There's a solo version of the song without Flo Rida, which has a bit of her singing that we don't get in the Flo Rida single cut.
I think it would have been nice to have both versions on the single, just saying. But, you know, for some of us that want to do a solo performance, they don't want to share the stage. that would have been nice to have. Now, speaking of JLS, we got to say this song, Bad Boys, was nominated for Best British Single at the Brits. So it's Alexandra Burke's second year in a row being nominated for this category at the Brits. She lost to JLS, Beat Again. Beat Again is a good song. I like it.
Yeah, but if you play them back to back now, what holds up? Because the Bad Boys are always catching my eye, or If I Died, Would You Come to My Funeral, Would You Cry?
Oh, no, the Demon Twink song definitely holds up, yeah. The Demon Twink version of Bad Boys is the one I'm playing again, yeah.
And, you know, just while we're still here, I just want to give a shout out that we both absolutely loved chatting about this song when we were guests on Rory Boyle's Light Camera Melodrama podcast. It's an X Factor podcast. We were guests on it last year. Shout out to Rory. Great X Factor podcast. Do check it out. Anything else to say about this song before we get into the chart positions, Davo?
I'm gagging to get into the chart positions because she's done it again, Miss Burke. This single debuted at number one in the UK, selling over 187,000 copies in its first week, going on to sell a total of 860,000 copies, certifying platinum. It spent 5 consecutive weeks in the UK top 10 and is to date her longest charting single in the UK, longer than Hallelujah.
What was fantastic is that, again, showing what a time for the X Factor this was. We've got, obviously, JLS would be it again. This song, huge number one. The following week, David, is Cheryl's debut solo single, Fight for This
Really?
Love at number one. So this charted and showed up in a lot of places, David. It was platinum here, as you said, huge number one. It was double platinum in Sweden, David, where it was a number 6 hit.
We got some Bad Boys in Sweden.
How's my Swedish Bad Boys doing tonight? Number one in Scotland, number one in Ireland. Australia, number 6 on the Hit Seekers and number 25 on the Australia Urban Charts. I think you guys at Joy could have done a little bit more to help it out.
We were just getting warmed up with Alexandra and maybe we didn't have enough Bad Boys in Australia.
No, all good boys only in Australia. Couldn't relate to the song.
Couldn't relate. No Demon Twinks spotted.
Where else? 22 in Austria, number 4 in Hungary, 14 in Germany, 11 in Finland, number 4 in Slovakia. Fan bloody Fantastic.
So now, 1 week after the arrival of Bad Boys, we have Alexandra Burke's debut album, Overcome, which is the reason why we're all here today. What a phenomenal debut this is, Jolie B. I went out and bought my copy in Australia.
And she gives us a cover that is pure fire.
I love the kind of shoulder-length hair, you know, kind of messy, wet look, the bangs, skin glistening, the silver coin dress.
Oh. David, this is a debut album from my priority act, isn't it?
Yeah. So Simon Cowell is the exec producer, but we got Red One, who has produced hits for Lady Gaga. We got Stargate, who's done hits for Beyonce and Samantha Mumba.
Our favourites. And Mystique.
And Mystique and Atomic Kitten. Hello, we are a noughties pop music podcast. Neo's on this. Jim Johnson, who's produced hits for Usher. Rico Love, who's worked with Kelly Rowland. Brian Kennedy, who's worked with Nicole Scherzinger and Rihanna. Wayne Wilkins, who did Fight for This Love for Shazza. Hit songwriters like Savan Kotecha, who today is known for hits for Ariana. Iconique.
Alexandra said herself, you sent me a fantastic video of her reflecting, and she's just like, all those grade A collaborators wouldn't all be on one album now. And even, you know, we were speaking with people in the industry who are friends of this podcast and friends in real life, and we were spitballing about how we'd love certain acts to come back. And they're like, you know, realistically, we can get 3 or 4 songs with grade A producers, and then the rest needs to be from up and comers. We can't just fill that all on one album because it's expensive.
We can't spend that kind of money. Alexandra wanted an album that really reflected her personality, something fun, bold, but also uplifting and inspirational. So we get this incredible, beastly, in her words, mix of dance pop, R&B, soul, and gospel influences.
Thank God. So David, I want to ask you straight away, what are your standouts on this album?
I really have fallen in love with a couple of tracks that I kind of missed the first time around, and one of them is Dumb. So bye bye baby.
Oh gosh, yes. Red One produced Banger. So it's a diss track to any himbos out there as well. Sick burn from Alexandra Burke out there.
And I bet Jennifer Ellison's ears must be burning.
That is the dream collab. Now, if this was a true grade A collabs only, we would have had old Jennifer Ellison on there. That's what we need on the Alexandra Burke Overcome Guest List edition.
Sonic Structure is such an interesting song because we get reggae rhythm here with a heavily synthesized horns riff. And then it switches gears in a chorus to like thumping electro pop. Like suddenly in the chorus, it feels like a Saturday single. What about you, Jolie B? What has stood out for you?
One of the main standouts for me is the ode to David Lim, Good Night, Good Morning, featuring Neo, produced by Stargate and Neo. What a dream. This could have been a single.
This really could have been a single. And it's so catchy that even though I've gone years without listening to this album, I still can hear this chorus in my head, especially when the bell tolls at Compton's saying it's last drinks. I can just hear it in my head, you know. What would it be for you and me? Is it good night or is it good morning? Is it good night or is it good morning? Oh, it's just, you know, that vibe when you're like really... You've spent the whole night with someone drinking and you're just like,
oh God,
the chemistry is there. And then you're like, oh, where do we go after? Now we've been chucked out of the bar.
Yeah. And for like the Alexandra tour, I mean, I don't know where it did end up on the set list, but this would be a really good like closer before the encore, or one before closer before the encore, with the laser lights going and being like, you know, everyone's going to have to go home soon. Is it good night or is it good morning? Is it good night?
All the security guards at Wembley is like, no, you need to go home.
Yeah. Wait, one more.
No, this is a bop. And yeah, I remember at the time the album came out, lots of people were saying, oh yeah, this could be a single. And you can imagine a music video with Neo and her, like, that would be an international hit.
Still could be. What else for you, Devo?
Now, this is another one that I seem to have missed back in the day, but it's really hitting me in the face now. Nothing But The Girl.
Oh. People blogging, talking crazy, I ain't gonna let it break me. Nothing matters but the girl. I don't need material things to represent myself.
I did not know she was giving you like kind of Eurodance trance beats, but it was like Ibiza on this track with soulful vocals, isn't it?
Fantastic. It's another slick banger on this brilliant album, produced by Stargate, Neo and Chasen Status. And I actually think, dare to say it, David, and I'm being deadly serious, I think this would have been a great seventh single. Mm. Can you believe it? Seventh. It could have been, it could have, would have, should have, could have.
It's a really great self-empowering banger. You know, it's saying nothing matters but the girl. Like, you have to put yourself first and take yourself out of a bad situation because nothing matters but you. And I wonder if this is even like a little bit foreshadowing of the kind of Eurodance album she'll give us next.
Tucked away near at the end there. So it is kind of to help bleed you into it. Now, David, I have to give a shout out to You Broke My Heart. We have the other queen of late 2000s pop, friend of the podcast, Pixie Lott on here, co-writing with Legends Only, Naira Scala of Sound of the Underground fame, and Steve Booker, who wrote Duffy's Mercy. You took my love, you broke my heart, you took my smile and tore it. To me, this both vocally, song and production absolutely sounds like something that could have been on Pixie Lott's first album, Turn It Up, mixed with Duffy.
Yeah, this is really Duffy-esque. And you know what? I'm glad we're getting that range because as much as we as young people would have been like, yes, but give us an album of bangers. But, you know, she won the X Factor, sold like a million records of Hallelujah. She's got a huge audience. So I can imagine like maybe a couple of mid-tempos in there needs to speak to the kind of parents as well. And this is Radio 2 Alexandra Burke. So in an alternate universe, maybe this could have been a promo or like a radio-only single.
Now, David, another song I want to give a shout out to is the title track.
Oh, thank you for saying that because that was going to be my next choice. Yeah.
Overcome. What a stunning, dramatic ballad. This here is such a powerful title track, which I'm so happy about, because sometimes you find there are songs on the album which have a great title and they end up being the title of the album, but the track itself is a bit of a throwaway. Not here.
No, this one is a very essential track, and it really is the heart of the album. She told the producers that she wanted a gospel feeling song on the album to just kind of connect with her roots because she grew up singing in church. And they've come up with this perfect skyscraper ballad that really, in a world post Jordan Sparks Battlefield, this makes a lot of sense.
Like, we're so blessed that we had so many bangers for singles. Maybe it would have been nice for this to be a double A side with something. Give a bit of light and shade out there.
Maybe for Mother's Day, yeah.
Yeah, and you could do a really simple but elegant, glamorous music video for this if you've got a double A side. So not all the budget needs to go, but you can still do something really sophisticated.
Get the gospel choir in there, yeah. And do you know what, Jolie B? This song was written and co-produced by Louis Biancaniello and Sam Waters, who were behind Jessica Simpson's Big Ballads.
I wonder it's so bloody good.
This is why it's speaking to your soul, yeah.
Now, I would love to see Jessica Ann Simpson and Alexandra Burke get together. Imagine.
Oh, they can do Overcome, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fan-bloody-tastic. I see it all, it's waiting for me now. I kinda let you in my heart now. My defenses all fall apart. Just when I thought I'd given up, I have overcome. And now I can't let you get me down. In February 2009, Alexandra Burke, it was reported that she had signed a 3.5 million five-album United States record deal with Epic Records.
Okay,
and
wow.
She was talking about the American release of the potential American release of this album at the time. And she was talking about her music videos, and she was quoted as saying, "I don't think we're going to change it that much for the American market, as the videos will definitely stay the same. The reason I wanted Bad Boys and Broken Hills shot in LA is it's cheaper and wiser to make one video and make it work for both markets." Now, that is a business savvy queen. That's what we say a lot here on this podcast.
Yeah, because often the American music video, you're kind of like, meh, is that really necessary? But
yeah,
you know what?
Money.
It's in a time of downloads. We all need to tighten our belt buckles.
And, you know, because this is where we would say, you know, this really could have been an American-facing record and could have been big in America. But it looks like there was thought for that to happen.
Definitely. You know, they've got Neo on the album, they got Flo Rida on a single, they're going to get Pitbull on another single. I think global domination was definitely on the cards for Miss Burke.
I mean, it's just a shame we didn't actually end up getting an American launch or anything.
I think maybe the reissue of the album was the American version. So before we get ahead of ourselves, this first iteration of Overcome, the debut album by Burke, debuted at number one here in the UK, selling 132,000 copies in its first week. It was a big year for British female artists that particular year. Susan Boyle and Leona Lewis were the only two other female artists with bigger opening week album sales.
Wow.
Kind of goes to show the power of X Factor and BGT, right, at this time.
I mean, Psycho's bank balances must have been very happy about.
Yeah, but also they were probably spending a lot on these artists because I don't know about Susan's album, but I think Leona and Alexandra Burke's albums were definitely expensive.
Yeah, and I'm sure Susan's was expensive, but I'm sure it wasn't originals. I'm not sure.
They're not paying like extra for a Pitbull feature on Susan Boyle's album. So they would have cut a bit of cost there. No feature creatures.
Susie Bow and Mr. Worldwide, here we go.
Dale.
I dreamed a dream of time gone by. Here we go. Working with Susan's just like working with J-Lo.
The Scottish J-Lo, Susan Boyle.
So they probably definitely recouped there, but I'm sure they did with these albums. But as you were saying, yes, a lot of money was going out, but a lot of money and success was coming back in.
This album spent 60 weeks on the UK charts, certifying double platinum. It will go on to sell over 1 million copies worldwide.
One in the UK, one in Scotland, two in Ireland. Come on, guys.
What was keeping you out of number one? Was Westlife there?
It's all about the Boyzone, the ultimate greatest hits. I don't know. In Australia, it was at 25 on the Australian Urban Albums charts. Come on, David.
I bought my copy. Don't come on, David, me. I did my part. I was an Australian beastie.
Okay, well done. We got 54 in Austria, 73 in Belgium, number 7 on the European top 100 albums. Very, very, very successful album. And what a way for Alexandra Burke to say, here I bloody am. I'm overcome, but I'm here.
Okay, Jolie B, we are now going to January 2010, the second single from this album, an iconic banger, Broken Heels.
Red one. I can do it even better than you. I can do it even better in broken heels. Hey, 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 shadoo, doo, doo, doo.
Thank you. Like, this is definitely my favorite Alexandra Burke up-tempo.
Really?
I do listen to this much more than Bad Boys.
Wow. And for your favorite AB up-tempo, like, you're spoilt for choice. So for this to be the favorite is saying something.
Mm. There really is loads to choose from this album. So this is a classic Red One banger, like really in your face from that opening sequence that Joel just gave you a rendition of. This comes out, push the button. I'm pushing people out of the way.
Push.
Hey.
There'll be me pushing people out of the way. Give him space. This is his song.
Red One, I can do it better than you.
Not only is it a banger, but, and I'm sure this is partly why it's your favourite, is this is a song that feels like a warm hug, doesn't it? It does fill you with joy. It's a serotonin burst. It's just...
In fact, Alexandra said that this song was pretty much written on the spot for her. She went into her first session with Red One. He had already prepared some songs for her in advance of her coming into studio. And the minute he met her, had a chat with her, he decided, okay, we're going to scrap every song that we've just prepared for you. We're going to start from scratch because you are not the person I thought you would be. And he ended up being the first producer to really draw out her personality in the music. And as a result, from these sessions, it really set the template for this album.
What a way to knock it out of the park. This is the first song she recorded for the album. So, David, we've got a fantastic music video here. Alexandra and the dancers all in these fabulous American football outfits. We've got locker scenes, and then we've got a big fabulous routine out on the open football field. Who knew that sports could be so interesting?
I mean, really, where was ESPN? We needed the coverage here.
Live here, tens of women, broken hills, nothing but bops, only on ESPN.
Frank Gatson, who choreographs for Beyonce and Destiny's Child, is the choreographer for this video. Now, Jolie B, broken heels actually appeared on the CW show Hellcats in its pilot. So she kind of got a little bit of an American infiltration there.
Hellcats, one season wonder, but it did star right back at your royalty, Ashley Tisdale, and Ali of Ali and AJ, JB's absolute faves.
Ashley, you know I can do better than you. So this single actually debuted at number 36 just on downloads alone and interest around the music video when the album first came out. And then it climbed to a peak of number 8 5 weeks later, selling 400,000 copies, certifying gold. Get it, Broken Heels?
We were loving Broken Heels and Bad Boys all night long, right up until May 2010, where Alexandra Burke released another surefire banger on us. All night long.
In 2010, early 2010, maybe not a lot of artists were doing this whole combo of, when it comes to single number 3, let's do a feature to make it different to the album version.
It's really amazing that we're still getting bangers for like the third, technically fourth single, depending on how you're looking at it. And it's another up-tempo, because she was known for up-tempo and ballads on The X Factor. And I'm really thankful that we are getting bangers and we're about to get another one even after this. But very interesting, because stereotypically a pop artist, you know, two bangers and then for the third one, show something a bit different, a bit of a ballad.
Yeah, but I just think, you know what? This comes out in May. It's leading into summer. Let's give everyone something
fun
to latch onto. And wow, a lot of people will say All Night Long is their signature Alexandra Burke song. And I love it, but I don't love it nearly as much as Broken Heels, but I do fucking love this song.
I think this is one of the best of the era. And I was going to ask you, do you think it's maybe, it does feel, and maybe I'm wrong, but it does feel that this is slightly underrated. And do you think that is because the first two, the previous two are so in your face and memorable, and you just know them and remember them as Alexandra Burke.
I wanted to say that this is probably better known than Broken Heels. Like, we don't need to ask the gays, because I think our community knows all these songs.
Just knows them all.
But I want to ask the average auntie at Iceland. I want to ask, you know, just the folks. Ask your cousins, ask your aunties. Do they know Broken Heels versus All Night Long? Which is the one that they gravitate towards?
Cuts to us doing Vox Pops outside Tesco's. Hello, Brent Cross. So, Alexandra Burke, All Night Long or Broken Heels? Which one?
Maybe the Pitbull connection helped this become more of a radio hit. And maybe more mainstream folks know this song over Broken Heels.
Yeah, in my experience, it's otherwise, but it will be really interesting to find out.
We need to do a national poll, yeah.
Yeah, YouGov. We will find out, David.
Well, let's talk about this music video, because I cannot watch this video. It gives me motion sickness. It's a house party scene shot in Hertfordshire, but there's lots of camera phone footage being edited into this kind of drunken house party music video, and it just makes me feel sick. Like, I just can't deal with watching that. It's too much.
It's kind of like the nearly decade moved on version of the Mariah Last Night a DJ Saved My Life version music video, kind of that feel going on. It is a sexy, fun house party. We are now in a Lady Gaga world, and Mr. Worldwide is here via Zoom. Who knew?
Oh, so he wasn't actually in the Hertfordshire mansion?
Well, from what I got of it, it was just he was on a screen, so it was a separate shot, separate shoot.
That goes to show how little I watched of this video, because it
Yeah, somebody please get David Lim those travel sick armbands, just so he can make it through the video. The Gez, the Strets, we were dancing to it all night long in 2010. It was a number 4 smash hit here in the UK, David. Absolutely phenomenal. Number 1 in Poland. Thank you, Poland. Number 3 on the Scottish charts. 7 in Belgium. 48 in Australia, just on the main charts.
Finally, we
it's
have
about
arrived.
Time.
It's about time. Alexandra Burke's first charting single in Australia. We were raging all night long down under.
Literally raging on rage. 10 on the Australian Urban chart, so that's fantastic. Probably just 9 Young Divas keeping her off the top of that. But 1 in Ireland, phenomenal. We're actually getting a lot of good chart positions in Ireland from Alexandra, so they clearly also think Louis was wrong to not put her through to the finals the first time she auditioned.
So with this single, for the 3rd year in a row, Alexandra Burke is nominated for Best British Single at the Brit Awards.
Wow.
So sadly, All Night Long lost to Tiny Temper, Pass Out. Don't even know that song, but okay. But also, like, it's really made me think, like, where was Alexandra Burke's Brit Awards performance?
Justice, we want that Alexandra Burke legacy medley performance at the Brits.
20 years of Overcome, that's what we're going to get. All these 6 singles, album tracks... Let's go for
and
it.
And if they don't ask for it, Alexandra is going to start without them.
Yeah. Are you doing one of your famous segues into the next single? Is that what's happening here?
It is what's happening here.
Yeah. So we are now at August 2010. Start Without You. Now, this is a brand new track that's going to be the first single on the reissue of Overcome.
I'm like a beast. I'm like a beast. DJ drop the record, I'ma start a stampede. He dropped the record, I start a stampede. Eh, boy, I push it out. Eh, boy, I push it out. Fire on my body like a merry-go-round. Front to the back, I make it go round.
Start Without You, she's giving you reggae, she's giving you dancehall vibes. She wanted something with a bit of a nod to her Jamaican roots. So that's where we are here with this Red One banger. Jolie B, what did you think of this song?
I think it is another serve in capital letters. And I would say this is possibly another one that's forgotten about, which really shouldn't be. And obviously to like the diehard pop fans, it's not going to be forgotten about. But to the greater world, and even like me, to be honest, this one had slipped past me until this resurrection for me personally.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong about that. We'll include it in our YouGov poll. But It's such a shame because it's an absolute banger.
It is a banger. I mean, it's not the immediate must-have Alexandra Burke banger for me. Like, if I were to see one of her Pride sets, if she felt the need to give this a skip, I wouldn't be upset. But I will say, looking at the timing of it, August, you know, is this Alexandra Burke's Notting Hill Carnival anthem?
Yeah, absolutely. And do you not feel, though, you're saying, oh, you wouldn't mind if she gave it a miss, but do you not think this is a must when you're at a field on a sunny day?
Honestly, she has so many bangers. If she was strapped for time and she says, guys, sorry, I really got to dash, I can't do Start Without You, I'll be like, that's okay, babes. See you next year.
Yeah. If you want to hear Bad Boys, I'm really sorry, but I've got to skip this one.
God, let's talk about this music video, because there is Olivia Newton-John in the 80s with Physical, and then we have Alexandra Burke, Start Without You, right? Geh, right.
I will be honest, I had never seen this music video before until today. And the music video is the styling of Strictly meets Chicago the Musical. Do you not think, though, this music video, and this isn't a bad thing, but it looks a bit like a charity single with the styling and the men and the positioning of it. You would think it was a charity single, like when Emma Bunton did Downtown or Girls Aloud and Sugar Babes Walk This Way. It has that feel to it, and I think it's their loss. They would have been lucky to have this.
Whatever charity single there is that would have topless men flexing and working out, that's a charity I want to support, yeah. Maybe this could have been the Terence Higgins Trust charity single. Yes. Come on, yes.
Ambassador David Lim supports this.
I'm like a beast. Yeah. This is my new gym anthem, my home workout anthem.
Yeah, fantastic. Get it on the Right Back At Your Workout playlist. So unfortunately, there was a lot of leaks that happened, some psycho leaks that happened around this time. So a bunch of Alexandra Burke songs and Leona Lewis songs, Psycho Label Me, both had a bunch of their tracks leaked, various incarnations, demos, unfinished tracks, which isn't how the artist wants to hear. And then the funny thing is that Alexandra Burke was quoted at saying it was just two little boys, German guys on work experience, psycho. I just love that she calls them little boys.
I love it. It's just like, yeah, they really fucked up my campaign. Those two little boys that were interning in a German office. Yeah.
So David, this is a very well-deserved UK number one.
Maybe a lot of people have forgotten about this song, but it is a UK number one, honey. So can't take that away from Alexandra.
And we will not let you forget that this is a UK number one.
And that kind of just goes to show with her star power, right? You know, people have already bought the album. That was number one. First two singles, number one. The minute you give them something new, they were lapping it up and sending it straight to number one. So she is on a roll this year.
Psycho was very happy getting those numbers and sheets. The Simon Cowell getting the facts. Do you know what, Alexandra? He's male Jerry Halliwell. Do you know what, Alexandra? I like you. You've got a lot of talent. And these numbers reflect that.
It's a yes from me.
It's a yes from me. And I think we should re-release the album.
And do you know what? Just to make sure it's a number one for Christmas, we're going to get Sunita on track 9.
Okay.com, David Lim.
So shall we move on to the final
Wait, I didn't
single?
Get to read to any other countries. They love to hear it.
It's Sorry, I didn't even know this charted anywhere else.
Charted everywhere. Number one in Scotland. Number 2 and 4 in Poland. It was number 2 on the Poland video chart and number 4 on the Poland-Polish airplane new chart.
Amazing. Not everybody has that.
Not everybody has that. We don't. 5 in Ireland, top 5 hit. 62 in Slovakia.
Again, hello Slovakia.
Hello Slovakia. 10 in Belgium, 61 in the Czech Republic. 7 on the European Hot 100 singles charts. In the year-end charts of 2010, it was the 82nd best-selling single here in the UK. Now, David, aren't you glad that you gave me the chance to read that all out?
Oh, thank you, Jolie B. Shout out Slovakia.
So then, David, following on from this, November that year, Alexandra Burke re-releases Overcome,
No, it's December.
Well, Rob Copsey at the Digital Spy in the article said it was November. Come on, Rob, from 10 years ago. Well, towards the end of that year, David, Alexandra Burke re-releases Overcome with some new tracks, some new versions of tracks from the past album, and all the music videos to date on a bonus DVD.
Wow. Now, this is a Christmas stocking filler. And just to coincide with the deluxe edition reissue of Overcome, she releases the sixth and final single of this era, The Silence. Jollibee, The Silence is my favourite Alexandra Burke song of all time.
Wow.
I've spent many
I've spent many
hours lip syncing to this song in my bedroom in front of the mirror. Like, this is it for me. This is it.
Incredibly impressive. This is the first time we're getting a ballad from someone who is known for their big voice as much as they're known for giving bops.
Yeah.
And I think that is, and I would never call Psycho or a big label brave, but I think that is pretty brave considering this album did start as potentially a Mother's Day release.
And this could have been an easy Mother's Day seller. They've been very strategic about this. Why release a ballad approaching summer? Save it for the end of the year when you can come on the X Factor and do a fucking huge ballady performance. And Joel, from the very first time I bought this album, I've been obsessed with this song. And I just must say, you would never guess this is a Red One production. Range. The Range. You know, what a cracking, thunderous power ballad this is.
Well, Red One, we are handing you the versatility card on the Write by Catch a Board game. Shout out back to that. I can't remember what episode it was on.
And Alexandra's like really raspy, strong vocals, like just absolutely soaring. And then you bring in the gospel choir. Oh, I just can't. Every time I hear this, when he gets the climax of a song, I'm just like tearing up. I just can't.
I'm really happy for you, David, that this is your favourite song. I think it's a gorgeous song. I can really tell you're like connected to it, and I love that.
I just wish more people know and love this song. And Alex herself says she likes this song, but she doesn't sing it very much because A, it's a tough song to sing, and B, it reminds her about her ex, so it really pinches at her heart whenever she sings this. So she tries not to do it unless it's by special request, which, by the way, at David Lim's 40th birthday, Alexandra Burke booking... She's going to have to do The Silence.
All right, we better start the crowdfunding now, guys. I'll set up the link, send me the money, and I can't wait. When you saw that she said that, did you think, oh, fuck, I hope I didn't bring up that that was my favourite song when we worked together?
No, I've never spoken to her about this album. You know, when I'm in work mode, I'm in work mode.
You're in work mode,
I know. I don't fangirl and stuff. But yeah, look, Alex, if you're listening, I do love this song. Thank you. This is your gift to my heart.
It has a very simple music video with it, but what else would you expect for the sixth single? And it's still a lovely, lovely music video to go with it, you know?
It is like a high fashion photo shoot, really. Not dissimilar from Jessica Simpson's I Wanna Love You Forever. Also very similar vibes to Sugar Babe's Denial, that music video. If you remember, it was like a Grazia fashion shoot sort of look. So December 2010, 2 years after she won the X Factor, she comes back on a show to perform The Silence. I would say this is one of the least referenced performance of hers, and it's so stunning, isn't it?
It is, and it just shows the longevity of her and this album campaign. She wins. Next season, she's on performing the lead single. Next season, she's still performing songs from the album campaign. Incredible. And yes, big, stunning, big pop star performance. You sent it to me. I'd never seen it before.
simple flowy white dress, very angelic. And then we got these performers playing violins, hanging upside down from the top of the stage, descending. Doom, 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 doom. So say you love me, say you need me. Oh.
Wowzers. And then was this the Joe McElderry series, do you think?
Joe was the year right after her.
Oh, Joe was the year right after.
Wait a minute, that is the Matt Cardle year.
Melanie C collaborator, Matt Cardle.
Rebecca Ferguson.
Rebecca Ferguson, oh, that's the reference
now,
point
she
of
is,
the year.
Rebecca really deserved more. I know her first album was successful, but she deserved an Alexandra Burke level longevity, really.
Yes.
Obviously One Direction, Cher Lloyd. This season was packed.
Didn't watch it personally, but full to
I was live blogging it. That was
I think I was working on the cruise.
Oh, you were away, yeah.
That one year of pop culture that is just void for me. non-accessible. Luckily I caught all of it. That's why I was like, this performance? No.
When did that happen?
Luckily, Alexandra Burke's whole career is near and dear to my heart. So, David, along with this, she re-released, as we were talking about, Overcome. Christmas release. Now, what's interesting for the original album release to give us such a strong, gorgeous image. I'm not a huge fan of this deluxe edition cover, considering how strong the previous edition was. I wonder if it was a slipcase and you pull it out and then there's the original cover.
Do you know what? I think it's kind of quite signature. This black and white portrait of Alexandra, but it's a close-up of her fringe. It kind of looks like a Naomi Campbell picture in some sort of way.
So apart from the new versions, we have two new songs, which I think are both really good. So we have a new Red One banger, What Happens on the Dance Floor.
Featuring Cobra Starship, which is a name, wow.
Yes, now who...
Very off the top.
Do you know who Cobra Starship is? I do not.
Oh gosh, this is a name from like the blogs back in the time. I don't really know.
What Happens on the Dance Floor and Before the Rain are my standouts. Now here, Before the Rain, we've got another big ballad. So you've got what people, if they want that, it's here for you. And What Happens on the Dance Floor for the gays, for everyone wants to be on the dance floor, we've got that. Bang for your buck from old Alex B.
I'm going to ask you, do you think of these new recordings, apart from Start Without You, there were any potential singles?
No.
No. I got a sense that no, these weren't.
I think they're really
singles.
Good songs for a deluxe edition.
Yeah.
Strong.
But we were ready to move on. Like, it wasn't like...
Strong, but we were ready to
move
on.
We were ready to move on. They weren't about to go into the third year of Overcome. Like, they weren't trying to stretch it out like that.
The next X Factor, she's performing Before the Rain week one. The finale, she's come back to do What Happens on the Dance Floor.
No, it was just kind of like, look, these were just from other sessions. We're just going to add it on here and Merry Christmas.
Do you know what's a shame? And this is a bit of a tangent, but speaking of like the live performances, and I have a real love-hate relationship with the X Factor. Like here, it's pure joy. There's other bits of it that I just don't agree with personally. But it's a shame that it didn't go out on top. Like, you know how when you look at American Idol knew it was going to finish, or at least I know we've got it back now, but its original incarnation knew it was going to finish. We had Kelly Clarkson coming back doing amazing performances. The last ever episode was this huge gala special. Jordan Sparks and Justin Grani sung a song together. It was spectacular. They invited everyone back. It was a real event. And it's a shame that the X Factor's kind of quietly disappeared. Even if they knew it was going to end, it's a shame we didn't do some kind of big bang celebration and have Alexandra back, have Leona back, have Shane back, have the members of One Direction, whether together or apart, Little Mix, you know, a really big here we are, obviously Steve, X Factor Series 1.
Oh, they would never invite Steve back. Like, no, he's slagged off to Series too much, but There was so many other names. Joe McElderry, my husband, Ollie Mers.
Oh, yeah, Ollie Mers.
Cher Lloyd. But I don't know if it, in 2020 and 2021 eyes, like, is that a little too kind of passé, you know? I think if they had wrapped the series a few years earlier where it was still kind of quite hot, then this kind of finale would make sense, yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame they didn't.
They'd be lucky to get a yes from Little Mix to come back and do an X Factor final ever episode gala performance. They'd be lucky.
It's a shame it didn't try and bow out on top and do something to celebrate it, or at least try and, like, give its legacy a bit of a glow up or something, you know?
You know, we'll always have the memories.
Always have the memories. Saturday nights in Takeaway. What are you doing? You know, pizza and the X Factor. Yeah, let's do that.
I remember, my first year moving to the UK, it was a Sam Bailey year of X Factor. And I would go over to my friend's house on Saturday night and we'd watch it together. And obviously we'd all, like, you know, armchair judges. We think we know everything, having a critique of the performances. But it was just part of the culture, wasn't it? We all felt like we were part of the show.
Yeah, for better or for worse. So the silence, David, before we get too far away, number 16 hit here in the UK. After a long album campaign that is very impressive, 66 in Switzerland, 16 in Scotland, 30 in Ireland, 26 in Hungary.
So now we get to January/February 2011. Alexandra Burke embarks on her very first national headline tour, the all-night-long tour. 35 dates up and down the country. Ollie Mers was one of the support acts. Someone called Kerry Mack, and also Parade, a girl group that was, I think they were Atlantic-launched girl group. I mean, they were, like, literally one or two singles album disappeared.
Some of our listeners are Parade fans.
I like a bit of Parade.
They did grab some of the gays.
Yes, I'm not going to lie, like a bit of Parade. They were kind of the next generation following the Saturdays, in my opinion. Yeah, I liked a bit of Parade.
And they just didn't get the chance.
No. So on this tour, Alexandra did, obviously, the bops from Overcome, but also there was a gorgeous Destiny's Child medley, Survivor and Bootylicious. During Bootylicious, her male dancers were pulling down their trousers to reveal, like, letters on their underwear, and it spells out A-L-E-X, Alex.
Now, let me tell you, this is Plymouth. This is Southend. This is not G-A-Y Alexandra Burke. Honestly. No, I bet everyone loved it. I bet it was a real Huns night
out.
Yeah,
the girls were living for it. The gays were like, yes.
So what is fantastic about this tour, David, is, you know, it's still early in her career. It's still the first album. She feels she has to sing Hallelujah. So do you know what? She sandwiches it in halfway through the show. It's sandwiched in between Closer, a Neo cover, and Good Night, Good Morning, just like it should be.
Literally, I'm going to give you the boring ballad in between, but then let's go, is it good night or is it good morning?
Did she sing Hallelujah at Mighty Hoopla?
I think she did, you know. I think she did. I just remember, like, going nuts for, like, Elephant and Let It Go. Let it go, go, go. I was living for that. I was like, come on, guys.
Not the Frozen song, everyone.
No, I was like, come on, guys. You all know the words. Come on.
David, I actually think that Alexandra should do a 10th anniversary version of this tour. Just do the exact same tour. Add in more of your hits that have come later. We will be there front and centre, right back at your boys have booked their tickets. This seems like such a fun night out tour to go to.
And the first three songs are the bangers that I love. Broken Heels, Nothing But The Girl, and Dumb. So she's, like, practically saying, David Lim, I need to see you at the front, babes.
You're going to lose your shit. You're going to spill your drink, but I'll do the first three. Then you can go to the bar, drink, 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 and then drop them because Good Night, Good Morning comes on. Ah! But really, what a way to finish off this incredible era. And when have we on Right Back At You covered an album that has spawned so many singles, real longevity, years, re-release, a tour. She was really doing her own thing.
Such a treat and such a special highlight of her career. Look, Beasties, if you want it, we might do another Alexandra episode celebrating her second album, Heartbreak on Hold. If that's what you want, let us know.
And Alexandra, if you're out there, if you wanted to come on this podcast, we would die.
I might just be on mute and just let both of you talk, because I think that would just be such a riot. So much fun.
I'll start without you.
Don't let me start without you.
David, you suggested this episode, and thank you so much, because I have loved rediscovering this. Alexandra Burke is one of the greatest performers we have in this country, and it has been such a joy to celebrate her here. And I still think she's got her greatest work ahead of her, and I can't wait to see it. Thank you for listening, guys. We are Right Back At You. You can follow us at Right Back Pod on all socials. You can email our hearts, rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at @Dr_JoelB, and you can follow him at
@LoveLimmy.
And if you love what we're doing, give us that little 5-star review and hit subscribe. Until next time, bye.
I'm like a beast.